Malachi chapter 3. I hope you'll listen carefully. This is, of course, God speaking through, he's speaking to Malachi, and then through Malachi to the people. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you in judgment. I'll come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Can we just pause for a moment and ponder that verse? He's just talking about judgment, coming in swift judgment, that he's going to set things right. But then he declares, I'm the Lord and I change not. And you would expect him to go on by talking about judgment, that he's going to carry out the judgment because he never changes. But what he says instead, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. They changed. Read the book. And we'll read on. They changed. But it's not our change that's the important issue. It's the fact that God never changes. And therefore, if his not changing means that I am not consumed in my sin, then it tells me something about the nature of God. He is love. He is merciful. He is compassionate. He is long-suffering. He is gracious. Rejoice, ye sons of Jacob, in your God. He does not change. Therefore, you're not consumed. As we've said many times before, there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less than he loves you now. He does not change. Verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, and by the way, if you go back and read the first two chapters, they're all the time doing this. They're arguing with God. God makes a statement, and they said, but wherein? Or wherewith? Or how? You know, in other words, we don't see it that way. Ye said, wherein shall we return? In other words, when have we left? What's wrong? Where have we gone astray? Where have we departed? So God says, all right, you want to get specific? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Everybody take a deep breath and relax. Because if you've been here before, you know what's coming. I'm not preaching to you tonight on tithes and offerings. So just relax. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we've kept his ordinance and that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, and with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. How many of you in this room have ever kept a diary of any length? I mean, you've kept it all your life, but you've kept a diary at some point in time where you wrote down things that happened in your life. How many of you have ever read somebody's diary? Legitimately. They gave you permission, or they're gone. I had the privilege of reading a couple diaries, David Brainerd's diary and the fellow that was killed, Jim Elliott, the fellow that was killed by the Aka Indians on the beaches there in Ecuador. Wow. Powerful stuff. God has a diary. Well, I'm going to use the term diary. God has a scribe. And like when he spoke to Jeremiah, he had Jeremiah relay what he said to him to Baruch. And Baruch, the scribe, wrote down the words of Jeremiah on a scroll. Well, God speaks here, and a book of remembrance was written before him. Why do you have a diary? You want to remember. So you want to remember the things that have been done. Years ago at camp, one of the groups of campers and their counselor gave me a little green spiral notebook. And they gave it to me to keep a record of the blessings of God. And they were counting as one of the blessings God had given them, Camp Yes, and the ministry of Camp Yes. And they said, we want you to take this book and record on a regular basis the blessings that God has given you. I didn't do it. I should have. I wish I would have. I'd love to do it, but I just didn't do it. I still have the book. Still see it every now and then, feel guilty that I didn't do it. But I want you to just pause and think for a minute. If God would cause somebody's name to be written down, that means they have touched his heart. Are you one of them? Has God written your name in his diary? I'm going to tell you how you'll know in just a minute. But not only that, how many of you in this room have ever had a treasure chest of some sort where you kept hidden away things of meaning, like your report card? No, I'm kidding. Like the badge that you earned or won as a child in your Cub Scouts or Girl Scouts or Girl Guides or whatever it was. Maybe it was a pocket watch from your grandfather, or maybe one of the awards that he earned in military service and has been passed on to you. Did you ever have a little box of treasures? Maybe back in our day, we used cigar boxes all the time. And we didn't smoke cigars, but cigar boxes were good things to keep things in. And we get a cigar box and we keep things in. Sometimes it was just a whatever. Somebody gave me a wallet with a zipper on it, and it was nice, and I didn't use it carrying around, but I would put my treasures in there. Maybe it's a silver dollar, a special coin that had meaning or value or whatever. And you get, surely you've got a lot of things like that. Don't you have things like that? Over the years, I've thrown out a lot of mine. I don't hold on to a lot of treasures anymore. When my mother passed away and went to be with the Lord this last August, almost a year ago now, I went through her things. And she had a bag in which she kept several mementos, several coins, several things that represented their travels in various countries as a missionary, several mementos of her family and her children. It was wonderful going through all of that stuff and thinking about it and thinking about how that must have been a delight to my mother. And I can remember a few times in my life where I got out my treasures and kind of looked at them and admired them and thought about them, valued them. I'm suggesting to you that God has a treasure box, a jewelry box, if you please. And he places jewels in the box. And it's possible for you and I to be one of those jewels, one of those treasures. What does God treasure? What does God hide away? What does God keep in a special place to remind him? To rejoice him. I don't know if I use the word carelessly or not, but to comfort him. Think of what it's like to be God. From a human perspective, to be God is a pretty awesome thing. To see everything that goes on, to hear everything that is said, to know every broken heart, to see every bleeding body. Because he's God and because he's love, he can handle that. But think about what it's like to be God. And I think you and I made in the image of God, we need something precious in our life to lean back on, to go back to touch, to remember, to think about, to help us. This is a very bad day in Israel's history. Corruption is everywhere. Evil abounds. Unbelief prevails. The majority of Israelites are going their own sinful way, giving very little thought or heed to the will of God or to the ways of God. But there was a remnant. Though few in number in comparison, they were faithful people. Surrounded by the growing spiritual darkness of their day, they continued to shine brightly. We do not read that they won great numbers of souls. We do not read that they built great buildings. We don't read of evangelistic successes. You know what God wants us to know? You know what God has determined worthy of us knowing enough that he would have it recorded in pages of Scripture? They feared the Lord. They feared the Lord. By the way, that's the whole duty of man according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Fear God and keep his commandments. Can anybody in this room right now quote to me Ecclesiastes 7:18? Okay. You quote the first half and she can finish it. Because that's what it's going to be all your life, by the way. You're going to start talking and she's going to finish it. Do it again. No, that's Ecclesiastes 12:13. I'm talking about Ecclesiastes 7:18. Stop. Good for you. It is good that thou shouldst take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand, that he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Did you notice when we read Malachi chapter 3 and Malachi chapter 4? God's judgment is surely coming, and it's going to be very evident and very clear who's righteous and who's wicked. Right now, it might seem that the righteous are suffering and the wicked are prospering. That was the complaint of the people. Look again at verse 13. God says, your words have been very stout against me. You've said it's vain, verse 14, to serve God. Doesn't profit. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. Nothing good ever happens in my life. It's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we've kept his ordinance, that we've been faithful, loyal, that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts, that we've had a broken heart and a sorrowful spirit? Look, now we call the proud happy. And yea, that these that work wickedness are set up, and even they that tempt God are delivered. Then they that feared the Lord. There was no fear of God before their eyes. And there's going to come a day when those that fear God are going to come forth of them all. It's maybe not right now, but you need to get a hold of this and never let it go. Those that fear God are going to come forth of them all. They feared the Lord. That means they took a stand for the Lord. That means they remained true to God. They did that which is right. You can well imagine that it wasn't easy, because the majority were not. So they were facing perhaps resistance from their family, ridicule from friends. Corruption was the rule of the day. Hypocrisy was abounding everywhere. And they were walking a narrow way. And by the way, I just have to remind you tonight, lest you have been deceived, or lest you have forgotten, when Jesus came on the scene and began to preach the gospel of the kingdom, he said, straight is the gate, means small, narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way. The word narrow there is a word which literally means hard-pressed, or it refers to the idea of persecution. The multitude is not going that way. You're on the road and you are on a narrow way. You're being persecuted. It's not easy for you. You are swimming upstream, as it were. That's the way of Christianity. And that, if I'm not mistaken, pretty well describes today. It describes the attitude of so many in North America, particularly, having enjoyed the blessing of God and only gotten where we are because of God's gracious mercy. We have forgotten him and we're weary of him. And there are several that wonder, why, what good does it do to serve God? It seems we're always being ridiculed. We're always being laughed at. It seems that we can get nowhere. We're accomplishing nothing. But I want to tell you something. God is noticing. And put yourself in his place. If everybody's going that way, would you not be thrilled? Would you not be delighted? Would you not be strengthened and encouraged if you saw a little pocket of people somewhere that would refuse to compromise, that would refuse to distort doctrine, that would refuse to mock the men of God, that would refuse to follow the fashions and morals of the day, but believed in God and honoring God? God pays attention to that. You know what I'm trying to do tonight? I don't at all want to make you feel bad. I want to encourage you tonight to be faithful. You have a great impact on the heart of your God. God's going to be silent for 400 years. His people have turned him aside again and again and again in spite of his graciousness. But before he turns out the lights and closes the door for a time period, he says, I noticed a group of people that met together, that talked about me, that thought about me, and fellowshipped with each other. And they're my jewels. In the day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. He wrote a book of remembrance about them. I want to be in that book, don't you? They feared God. We're not living in a world that fears God. Somebody said to Corrie Ten Boom one time, Corrie, what a great faith you have. And she immediately stopped him and said, No. What a great God I have. And would to God that you and I could fear Him and remain faithful when it's not easy to remain faithful. I'm challenging you, church, to stay true. You are precious to the heart of God. In John chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus said to the woman seated at the well outside of Samaria, He said to her, the Lord seeketh such to worship Him. Those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is looking for that. He's searching for that. And here's a group of people that He finds that are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. So many places in Scripture we find that God is encouraged by and blessed by. We're always thinking on the opposite side of the coin, how we want to be blessed and encouraged. But God is blessed and encouraged by those who trust Him, those who believe, those who have faithfulness. So they feared the Lord. That means they took a stand for the Lord. That means they did what was right. They thought upon the Lord, it says in verse number 16. They thought upon His name. You know, you can think on worldly things and slip into heaven, but you can't be a part of heaven's crown jewels. You might be saved, yet so as by fire, but not be one of His precious jewels because you don't think about Him. You can listen to rotten music and be entertained by evil media and still go to heaven. But you're not going to be written in a book of remembrance, and you're not going to be in His treasure chest. You can watch the wrong programs on television and still be saved. You can listen to the wrong things on the radio and still be saved, but you can't be a part of His treasure. He's not writing your name down in His book of remembrance. The problem today is the problem of Malachi's day. They're only concerned about being God's people. They're not concerned about living for God in this life. The world is looking for people who are peculiar. God is looking for people who are peculiar, who are devoted to the gospel. They thought about the Lord. They feared the Lord. They spoke about the Lord. Now it follows that they would speak about the Lord because they thought about the Lord. You talk about the things you think about. We don't even think about that most of the time, but the truth is, if you listen to somebody's conversation long enough, you'll know where their thoughts are. That's what's on their mind. That's what they want to talk about. How many of us, when we get together, and by the way, it's not that they were praying. Notice that in the text. Then they that feared the Lord, verse 16, spake often one to another. They spoke to each other. They were talking, and the inference is that they were talking about the Lord. They feared the Lord, and they encouraged one another. They spoke to one another about the Lord because they were thinking about the Lord. And the Lord hearkened and heard that. He overheard the conversation. He's eavesdropping on every conversation. And it delights Him that people talk about Him in a world that doesn't want to talk about Him. They don't want to hear about Him, much less talk about Him. You and I know the truth that those who are in love act a little unusual at times. They get excited and they like to talk about one another. Well, that's the way it should be between us and God. And I'm going to tell you something that delights God. Are you hearing me tonight? Do you want to delight and be a blessing to the heart of God? Is your life tonight all about God relieving you of your burdens, or would you have a thought tonight about how you can relieve His burden? Would you be encouraged tonight that even though it looks like you're going nowhere and nothing is happening and we're not accomplishing anything, God is noticing those that fear Him, those that think about Him, those that talk about Him. I can hear the Lord in heaven calling the angels saying, look there, look over there. See that group of people? Nobody's paying any attention to the prophets. They're killing the prophets. They don't want to talk about me. They're arguing with me about everything I say. They're finding fault with everything that I've said, and yet they fear me. They're talking about me. They're staying faithful together. Those are my treasures. Those are my jewels. Can I put it to you this way? He treasures those who make His treasure their treasure. So if the people that fear God think often about God and speak often one to another about God, if those are His treasure, do you treasure those people? Do you make His treasure your treasure? They were fellowshipping with each other. They were spending time together. They were talking to each other, encouraging each other. We could join any secular organization we want to tonight and still be a Christian. We could hobnob with anybody, but why do that? Why would we choose to do that instead of run with God's treasure? Run with those who are precious in His sight. That should be everything I need. It should be everything you need. I don't know of a single need I have that can't be met in the fellowship of the church, in the fellowship of God's family. I don't have to join anything else. I can run around with the wicked world and be a Christian still, but can't be a part of God's treasure and mentioned in His diary. I wonder tonight if my name is written down, if God has noticed. This is a dark day and getting darker. If you have a chance to pick up the latest issue of the Sound of the Trumpet on the back table, you ought to pick it up and read it. There's not a lot, so if you get your copy before they're gone, that's good. But it explains what's going on in the world. And some of you have heard about it before, the power structure and what's happening in our world and all the signs multiplying in indicating the return of the Lord, indicating a one world government. It's getting to the point now in Canada where if you and I speak in a negative way or a derogatory way about someone who has a different sexual preference than we, or if we speak in a derogatory manner of somebody who has a different faith, then we could be arrested. We could be charged with a hate crime. We could be penalized as evildoers. And if you go back and read the first two chapters of Malachi, that's what was happening. They were calling good evil. They were turning their back on God and turning everything upside down. But I'm going to encourage you tonight not to quit. Don't succumb to the darkness. Don't succumb to the discouragement. Don't think that it's over. Don't think that God has lost the battle. And don't come to the point where you say, it's not worth it. What profit is it? Oh, it's a great profit. You are encouraging and blessing and helping the heart of your God. I know. I'm speaking in human terminology. God will do quite well without you and I. But does that mean we shouldn't care to bless Him? Does that mean we shouldn't care to be a delight to His heart? Nobody else may be delighted in you, but if God's delighted in you, who else do you care about delighting? And the day is coming, and He promises that as He ends this book, that He is going to show you His love. And He is going to spare you. And He's going to gather up the jewels of His crown. And you and I will be part of it. If we have been people who have remained faithful, who feared the Lord, who thought on the Lord and talked about the Lord. Again, we're not talking about doing any great exploits. We're not talking about changing the world. We're talking about being faithful people who love God and who love to talk about God and love to fellowship in the things of God. And God lets us know that's very precious to Him. He keeps a diary, and He puts us aside in the treasure box. And when it gets, I'm thinking again as a man, but when it gets difficult and dark and discouraging and hard, He pulls out the diary You know, you remember Nebuchadnezzar? I think it was Nebuchadnezzar. No, it wasn't either. It was one of the other kings in the book of Esther. Couldn't sleep at night. So what did he do? He called for the books, the chronicles. And they brought out the books, and he's reading the books that recorded the great things that happened in his kingdom. And one of those was a plot to take his life was foiled. And he got to reading that and remembering that. He thought, who's the guy that did that? And what has been done for that guy? And it happened to be Mordecai. And it was a timely interruption of God. But if the king, the human king, and he couldn't sleep, and probably because of the burdens of the kingdom, pulls out the records and reads them, you might say, well, maybe he was reading them to try to go back to sleep. I don't know. But I'm suggesting to you that this passage says to me, it's very, very important to God. And it's very much noticed by God when his people fear him, think about him, talk about him, and fellowship together in him. Let's do that. Let's determine as a church family to be exactly that in this dark day. Maybe God will be pleased to let us see others saved. Maybe God will be pleased to let us make other great advances. But whether he does or not, it is not vain to serve the Lord. Let's just serve him to be a joy to his heart and a delight to him who loved us so much. Let's pray.